With more companies understanding the value of good product management and a shortage of deeply experienced candidates, finding a product leader to lead the function can be challenging. In this episode of Fearless Product Leadership, we learn how to assess potential product leaders from the seasoned product leaders themselves when they answer the question, "What is your best interview question for product leaders?"
Welcome to the Fearless Product Leadership Podcast. This is the show for new product leaders seeking to increase their confidence and competence. In every episode, I ask experienced and thoughtful product leaders to share their strategies and tactics that have helped them tackle a tough responsibility of the product leader role. I love helping emerging product leaders shorten their learning curves to expedite their professional success with great products, teams, and stakeholder relationships. I'm your host and CEO of Fearless Product, Hope Curion.
Finding a product leader to lead the function can be challenging, especially for executive teams that haven't had that role before, or for founders seeking to hire a first-time head of product. Sometimes they rely on executive recruiters who specialize in the product leadership function, but the role often requires different traits and skills depending on the company's product management maturity, company stage, business objectives, and the level and differences of understanding within the executive team about what good product looks like. How do you get to the heart of what is important to learn about a product leader candidate quickly to assess their fit for the role in your organization? We'll learn a variety of interview questions and what makes for a good answer in this episode, and I will share the question that I didn't hear but believe to be critically important when evaluating product leader candidates at the end of the episode. Fearlessly tackling the question, what is your best interview question for product leaders, are Dave Washa, Chief Product and Technology Officer at Zoopla, Zabrina Hossein, Product Lead at Shopify, Anthony Martyr, Head of Product at Plexure, Swapna Malakar, Product Lead at RBC Royal Bank of Canada, Sean Murphy, former VP of Product at Target and VP of Product and Engineering at Custom Inc., and Rachel Obstler, VP of Product at PagerDuty. First, Dave Washa describes the four traits he's seeking in any product person he hires and the questions he uses to uncover the degree to which a candidate possesses his desired qualities.
I spend a lot of time interviewing people. I interview hundreds of people a year. I'm taking jobs that require kind of really growing and transforming the capacity of the company. So, you know, I've spent a lot of time doing this. I stopped counting, but I think as of years ago, I'd done 5,000 product interviews in the UK over the last decade. And that's at every level. And there are, you know, things that kind of that I ask consistently, and over whether it's a senior person or not, I think that I just to get a read on the person. You know, by the time at this point in my career that I'm speaking to someone, we're not assessing them on whether or not they're a competent product person, and I'm really having a discussion with them around kind of values and personality traits and their fit within an organization. And I found a few questions to be invaluable in trying to, you know, uncover some of those things. Because what I'm looking for anybody, whether they're a leader or, you know, an associate product manager, I'm looking for someone who's high integrity. I'm looking for someone who's low ego, looking for someone who the value in collaborating in a creative endeavor with a group of people. I'm looking for a lifelong learner, right? Somebody who has kind of curiosity inside and outside of work for how things work. And they're constantly wanting to learn new things and picking up new hobbies. And they have a diverse set of pursuits outside of work. I found those things to really, three or four things to really be the leading indicators of whether or not someone's a successful product person. And so I try to focus my questions around each of those areas. High integrity, low ego. Really try to assess that. I ask some situational questions around times their integrity has been challenged or when they didn't tell the whole truth. At Moo, one of the companies I worked for when I first moved to the UK, we really valued this and we picked a question we wanted to ask everyone, which is, what's the worst thing you've ever done at work that you didn't tell anybody about? And you get some really, on a work level, I suppose, not a personal level. What's the biggest mistake you've made at work that you didn't tell anybody about? And that can give you some interesting answers. But what you're really looking for there is someone who's really self-reflective and low ego and self-critical. You know, what you don't want to get is someone says, well, the biggest mistake I've ever made was I said I was going to do 10 things and I did 20. And so I was wrong because I was much better than I was planning on being. So high integrity, low ego. You know, low ego is crucial, I think, for a product person because they need to be able to work with a group, collaborate, problem solve as a group without egos getting in the way of those kinds of things. With leaders, one of the questions I really like to ask is, what's been your best day at work? And that usually catches people off guard. Although now that I'm giving you the list of questions, I'm sure people will be prepared for them. But and what I'm really looking for there is just, you know, how do they define the things that motivate them and success and what is good at work? And inevitably, really successful leaders, their answers will really be in the context of they help the team do something or they help somebody get promoted. And it's really about the team and others. Whereas someone who's, you know, earlier in their career or more of an IC or perhaps less suited to being a leader would really talk about an individual accomplishment. When I shipped this thing or I got this decision made or, you know, something like that. And there's nothing wrong with those. It's just it helps, you know, suss out what they find important, what they're naturally going to find motivating, what their default mode is going to be, you know, certainly under times of stress, et cetera. And so that's a really interesting way of starting a conversation, you know, what's been your best day at work? And so, and people will often try to describe a generic best day and say, no, actually, what's the specific best day? Tell me about the day. And then I will follow up with, and what's been your worst day at work? And that's really helpful because it speaks to what do people find demotivating? What do people, if they found themselves in a position where the situation conflicted with their values or their integrity, how do they deal with it? And again, leaders are just human beings like everyone else. And you really want to understand, you know, to help you understand they might fit in the organization. What do they find motivating? What don't they find motivating? So I found those to be the helpful questions when I'm interviewing level. I love asking the question, what do you do for fun? Because again, that helps, you know, you understand a couple of things about the person that you're talking to. One is they have a diverse set of interests. Are they lifelong learners? You know, I think it's fairly well understood at this point that certainly with engineers, like there's a correlation between being a musician and being a really good engineer. And I've found a similar correlation in my personal experience with, you know, being a product, having kind of nerdy, diverse, you know, maybe eclectic interests outside of work. I've hired people that, you know, were stand-up comedians. I've hired people that designed role-playing board games. I've had hired people who, you know, ran kind of boutique clothing, kind of e-commerce sites in their spare time. Inevitably, or someone who sold kit to make concrete lights at farmers markets. And those are some of the best product managers that I've worked with because they've had a really diverse set of interests outside of work. It also really helps to understand, again, what motivates them, what kind of environments do they enjoy? What are they, when they have discretionary time, how are they spending it? And is that, you know, are they going to be successful and motivated in the environment in which you're hiring them or not? I think, and certainly with somebody in my role, that's half the job in interviewing is it's not, you know, in my role, I'm not really assessing whether or not they're going to be a good product manager. It's assessing whether or not they're going to be a successful product manager in the environment in which we're operating. And again, the same goes for leaders like everybody else. So yeah, best day at work, worst day at work. What do you do for fun? I used to ask favorite product, but I ask that now and everyone's prepared for that question. And so you get a kind of pat written, kind of rote answer, and that's not interesting or particularly helpful in assessing people. So those are my typical go-to. And that, again, that's for someone who's just out of college and someone all the way up to someone who's hiring to be a chief product officer.
Next, Sabrina Hossein shares the two questions she uses to assess competency and technique for a prospective product leader and whether the candidate possesses a mindset for continuous improvement.
My go-to interview question that helps me to assess potential products is actually pretty loaded because I can learn a lot from this question. My favorite question is, take me through a product that you led from strategy inception through to launch. This question helps me to understand a lot of things based on the person's answer. Taking a product from the ideation all the way through to launch requires product craft knowledge, a mix of hard and soft skills. It also helps me to understand how they create a product vision and then subsequently get a team to rally around that vision. Do they deeply understand their user and the problem they're trying to solve? And it also helps me to see how they supported their team during the development of that product and then support the go-to-market launch plans. And then my favorite follow-up question to that, based on what you learned from that product, what would you do differently? This helps me to understand if the PM is continually learning and iterating on their own methodologies based on their experiences, which is incredibly important.
Next, Anthony Martyr describes how he turns the table on his product leader candidates to see exactly how curious they are to truly understand the company, the role, the customers, and the markets in order to be successful in being a product leader at his organization.
So assess for a product manager and in a product leadership kind of role using one single question. To me, it's not one single question. It's a series of sort of ways that I approach my interviews. Whenever I'm interviewing, I usually do it in two stages. And the first stage is where I bring a candidate in and I tell them, I'm looking for you to ask me questions. And so by doing that, I'm assessing a number of things. I mean, I'm just trying to find out whether this is the right organization for them and, you know, do they have the right fit, or that's just kind of like basic kind of stuff. But what I'm, my sort of undercurrent here, and I wonder if anybody I interview will actually end up watching this podcast, that will be funny, is that I'm looking for them to show curiosity and business acumen. Are they asking me questions, you know, really probing questions about how this organization works? Are they asking me questions about how this organization makes money? You know, have they got a concept of actually, you know, it's about the revenue. It's about the fact that we need to connect what we're doing to outcomes. Are they asking me questions about our markets? Where are our markets? Who are our markets? Do we know? Do we have a route to market? Also, things like what is our organization's financial structure? You know, and that's telling me, oh, they've actually thought through how their product is going to get funded. So that's kind of my go-to, is actually saying, hey, interview me, interview my organization. And then what I'm looking for is that is hopefully emblematic of their approach to the role. Then the second stage is the more formal, typical kind of skills interview. There's one question, and this one I won't claim credit for, it actually came from one of my team. It is, if you had a magic wand, what would you change in your current organization to make product management better? And that's been really enlightening, because you separate out the people who only have a surface understanding of what it is that they're doing from the people who really understand the practice side of it. You know, how can I be more effective through the way that I work, not just by working harder? That, you know, that magic wand kind of question really challenges people to go, well, if I dropped all my assumptions, what could I do? Sometimes it's also insightful to then say, okay, well, please help me understand why those things are not happening in your organization as well, because it then gives me insight into, you know, how are they as a leader? Can they manage up? Can they manage stakeholders who they're obviously bashing their heads against to try and get these things changed? Or are they even pushing that change at all? You know, are they just going, you know, throwing up their hands and going, I've had enough of them, I'm out of here. So that has proved to be a really insightful question as well.
Next, Swapna Malakar shares why she seeks to understand how potential product leaders think about decision-making with her go-to interview question.
So in terms of the go-to interview question, or a set of questions that I ask when I want to assess potential product leaders, one of the things that jumps out to me is about a person's decision-making style, whether they are more of a consensus-driven individual or more of a collaborative individual. So one of the questions I always ask, is consensus always a good thing? So that is a question I ask in a different format, depending on the conversation that I'm having with the potential hire. Because again, as Canadians, we are so predisposed to be nice to each other, to be respectful, which is great. But at the same time, we want to be agreeable, even in difficult situations. And we don't take a decision unless everybody on the table has agreed on the solution, right? However, the responsibilities of a product lead is to push boundaries, make those tough, hard decisions that are best for the team, for the organization, but they might not be agreeable with all the decision makers or all the stakeholders on the table. So you need to disagree and commit at some point. This question allows me to evaluate, how does a candidate think about consensus and collaboration, and do they even know the difference between the two? And when would they use consensus as a decision-making tool versus collaboration as a decision-making? And how do they form that judgment during their decision-making process, I would say? So that, among a set of other questions, I guess, helps me understand the potential of a product lead when I'm hiring somebody in my team.
Sean Murphy shares the two questions he relies on to help him determine whether a product leader candidate has both relevant experience and a working style that will be compatible with the needs of his product team.
So Hope, I'm concerned about answering this question because I'm going to spill the beans on my whole interviewing style. So, but here's my go-to question. And really, most of my interview centers around two questions. Number one is I ask people, hey, what is your greatest professional accomplishment? And then I spend 15 minutes talking about it. I go deep into the time frame, the challenge, the roles, what the person did versus what other people did, what the metrics, what were the pivots along the way. And I'll spend 15 minutes going deep on that. And then my second question is pretty similar. I tee it up by then saying, hey, here's what the role is that you're interviewing for today. Here are some of the problems that we have. Now I want to hear about what is the closest thing that you've worked on related to this problem, whether it was a success or a failure. Either way, let's talk about that. And I'll spend another 15 minutes going deep just into that particular. Those are my two questions. Otherwise, I do things around people's cultural fit, their working styles, those types of things. But really, number one, what is your greatest professional accomplishment? And two, what is your greatest accomplishment or failure that's most related to the problem we're facing today?
Finally, Rachel Obstler shares the three questions she relies on to understand how prospective leaders think about the people and business responsibilities of the product leader role and what evidence signals to her that the interview went well.
I would say I don't have a single go-to question. The reason for that is that sometimes you ask a question and you get exactly what you want and some really good stuff out of it, and sometimes you don't. Everyone's different, right? And so I think you need a good set of questions to give people an opportunity to really shine. I've had times when I've asked people a question, I thought I got pretty crappy answer. And later I asked them another question and they answered the first question with this great answer. Sometimes it takes people to warm up a bit, right? So, you know, I think it's hard to have one, but I will share a couple that I use that have a good percentage result. So one of them is I asked people an example of a really good relationship that they had with engineering and what characterized it. And then I asked them, and then what's an example of a poor relationship and what characterized it? And a good answer for me is someone who can answer both of those with some sort of specifics about what went wrong, especially with the second one. But then if they talk about what went wrong, what they learned from it. When I have people who said, oh, I've always had good relationships with engineering, it's always a little bit of a warning sign because I've had challenging relationships with engineering to work at them really hard to get them to work. And it may not be a signal that there's anything wrong with that person. I think it's a signal that they never had a challenging one that they don't recognize when they do. So that one I think is a good one. It also tells me a lot about how they think about engineering, how they think about that partnership. The second one I like is asking people about a business case that they built, because that helps me understand how they think, how they reason through logic, how they figure out if something's a good investment or a bad investment, and how good they are at numbers. I feel or believe very strongly in looking at metrics. I think your gut and listening to customers is very important too, but I think metrics are important, and the ability to understand that a business case is not actually a number, but it's a mechanism to understand how when assumptions change, your results are going to change. The people who can answer it in that way, I know, can do business cases. And then the last one I like to ask is about a team that someone has built or managed. And just it's a good starting point to have a really good discussion about their management philosophy, like how they've hired people in the past, how they've developed people. And beyond that, what it really tells me is, are they oriented around management or not? I've had a lot of interviews where I'll ask someone about building and managing a team. And I actually always start my interviews here, right? I always start my interviews with the people side of things. Sometimes the answers I'll get from people are all around product strategy. You know, I just asked you about a team and you're talking to me about product strategy. I think that that a lot of people or in a lot of companies don't orient around building a team. It's either a sign of a company that focuses on like product strategy, but not your people, right? Or it's a sign that it's a manager that's not very mature, right? Like hasn't had a lot of management experience or you know, hasn't gotten to the point where they can think about people in this way, or think about how do I construct a team? You know, how do I fit together the pieces? How do I get the right skills that I need? How do I develop people? So anyway, those are some of the go-tos. And then the last thing I would say about this is that a good interview for me is one where I learn something. And it doesn't matter what it is, but if you say something or thought something that I've never thought before, never thought about before, I love that, because that also means that it wasn't time that I wasted.
Well, clearly from the answers our product leaders gave in this episode, there isn't one magical go-to question that will reveal everything you're going to need to know about how well a prospective product leader will perform in a role with such a diverse set of responsibilities. I've included in the show notes a recap of the 14 enlightening questions our experienced product leaders shared and what they're seeking to learn. I was surprised that no one asked the question that I think is actually one of the most important questions when interviewing product leaders, which is, what have you found to be the most effective ways to measure success of a product team and why? I like this question because it is not really straightforward for most product leaders, nor for most companies, so it reveals how deeply the candidate has experienced what success of a product team really means, how they've experimented with different approaches to arrive at that success, and how they think about the intersection and measurement of customer and business value, about transparency, about metrics and accountability models, and coaching and development of their team to achieve those measures of success. And then you can decide whether their approach is likely to work and be compatible within your organization. If you're a CEO in need of help assessing prospective product leaders for your organization, I'd love to be of help. Contact me on LinkedIn or Twitter, or schedule an initial consultation with me using the Contact Me page at fearless-product.com.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Fearless Product Leadership. If you know a new product leader who would find this podcast helpful, please share it. You can follow me, Hope Gurion, on LinkedIn and Twitter, or subscribe to the Fearless Product Leadership podcast on your favorite podcast platform to be notified of new episodes. You will find transcripts, video versions of each episode, as well as more information on my Fearless Product coaching and consulting services by visiting my website, fearless-product.com.
Fearless Product. Confidence through evidence.